Radio friends, today I would like to consider with you the resurrection of Jesus Christ as it applies to parenting. You might ask, what do those two have to do with each other? What does parenting have to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, specifically with the resurrection of the body and of life everlasting through Jesus Christ? The answer is they have very much to do with each other. For first of all, God created the family to prepare us for eternity, and it's very easy to forget that. Looking at your children, you might think today that as their parent, I must prepare them for life, and that's true in itself. I need to prepare them how to hold a job, to be responsible, to plan for their education, to take care of their health, and hopefully to leave them a little something. But God says, if that's your goal, if that's the heart of it, you aim far too low. You miss the heart of it. You must prepare your children to die well, to live for eternity. That's your task as a parent. It is the life in Jesus Christ that must be your concern. It is their future, not on earth, but their future that must be your burden. In this hedonistic, that is, love of pleasure, in this materialistic culture, this is the great task of Christian parents, of preparing our children to live with an eternal perspective. Do they see, parent, do your children and young people see eternity in your eyes? When they look into your eyes, and from your eyes, they see what matters to you. What's in your eyes as they look? What is revealed in your spending patterns? What is revealed in your interests? From you, what do they learn life is all about? Secondly, we must remember that as parents, we bring forth children for eternity for God's house, and that needs to sink in. Even the world sees that God has made parents, especially mothers, as the one who set the goal for their children. That was true, you remember, of Moses. The unextinguishable flame of eternal life and the resolve to live as a pilgrim on the earth was kindled in Moses in his first years of life, by the time he was 3 or 4, by his mother. By God, yes, I know, but the means were his mother, Jochebed, in a mud-thatched hut. So that when Moses was 40 years old, he said to his stepfather Pharaoh, I am homeward bound. I'm going to take a place up with slaves. I'm going to leave a palace and a throne for affliction and for reproach, because my heart is set on the hope of glory in Jesus Christ. There are greater riches with Christ than anything here in Egypt. Pharaoh, I'm going to live for eternity. And Pharaoh became angry. There was the wrath of the king. Pharaoh said, what? All I worked for? All I worked for you? The power, the wealth, the influence? And now you're going to throw it all away? What's the matter with you? Nevertheless, Moses set his hope upon heaven, and it was his mother who God used to set his eyes upon the true riches of Jesus Christ. Now, do you see the connection? Do you see the connection between believing in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, believing in Jesus Christ, the resurrection of our body, and the life everlasting? Because he arose, we shall have life everlasting. Do you see the connection between all of this and our calling as parents? It speaks to us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ does not simply speak, it does, but it does not simply speak to those who are at death's door, or in rest homes, or aged. It speaks to us. It speaks to parents. It speaks to young people. The resurrection of Jesus Christ says, this is direction. This is guidance. This is life. You're only living today if your eye and your heart is set upon eternal life. That's life. You must live homeward bound. This present life, according to the Scriptures and by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is not the end. It's not the end all. It is the preparation for a better life. This is our Christian faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." When I die, it is not the end. It is the beginning of a better. Now we are in a tent, then we shall be in a heavenly building. The important life is the life that is to come. This shows how poor the life of millions is today, how poor you are if this life is all that you have and all that you have pinned your hopes upon. This life, you say, is all there is? Well, then it would make sense when the world apart from Jesus Christ is in a frenzy. They have to do it now. They have to have it now, and they need to spend it now. And then mothers will say to daughters at an ever earlier age, 9, 10, 8, "You need to have romance now. You need to have a boyfriend now." And the world will say to young people, "You need to spend now and have a credit card now and be in debt now." And then the world will say to middle-aged people at the age of 40, "Your life is slipping away. You need to leave your husband or your wife because you're not happy, and you need to follow your dreams now. You need to do it now." If you get caught up with the now, you have to have it now, you are denying faith in Jesus Christ. For this life is not all there is. It is not the end all. But life is Jesus. It is the fullness of His presence. That's what we believe. Hebrews 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The life that is ahead is the better life. Paul says in Philippians 1, verse 23, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." This present life, make no mistake, is good for us as Christians, for to me to live is Christ. This present life is not to be despised or wasted. It is to be used and to be enjoyed. But the life that is ahead is better. Much better. We don't despise the present life. We believe that it is necessary and valuable. It is preparation for the life that is to come. We do not think little about marriage or rearing children or the earthly things. All of these things matter, yes. But the life that is ahead is better. It is better to be with Christ. It is better to be clothed upon with His life. And so we read in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." Solomon says the day of one's death is better than birth. Well, you say, how can that be? I believe God's word, but that is hard for me to understand. You say, I was present at the birth of my children. I remember the joy and the joy of having these children. And then you're saying, if suddenly in the middle of the night a 4-year-old is taken to the hospital and dies, or a husband of 40 years dies, or perhaps a young person dies, you say that's better? And we say, well, of course, apart from Jesus Christ, it's not better. Apart from Jesus Christ, the day of one's birth and the day of one's death are bad days. Apart from Jesus Christ, it's all bad. But yes, in Jesus Christ, the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Because, you see, first of all, this life now is attended with the misery of our sin. And birth marks our entrance into all misery, where our death marks our entrance into the fullness of eternal joy. Yes, this present life is good in Christ, and we have eternal life and faith in Jesus Christ now. Christ in us, says the apostle, is the hope of glory. But now we live in our sinful flesh. We live with woe and toil. We live with unrelenting struggle against sin. And so we bring up our children in the midst of this world to be soldiers of the cross and to fight their sin. That's their enemy. Are you making your little boys and girls good soldiers of the cross of Jesus Christ? But there's another reason. There's another reason why death for the Christian is better. And that is because in death we are brought into full communion with God. We enter into Father's house of many mansions. And the Bible says to us that there is something about seeing God's face that is so indescribably worth it. We read, "As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." The apostle says, "Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." At the moment a Christian dies, his soul is taken to Jesus Christ, our head and our Savior, and the moment we stand before Jesus, we understand. We are satisfied perfectly. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He held out that hope as being more than enough comfort to overcome all the pain and misery in his soul. And so, parents, we must bring up our children. And we must bring up our children sometimes and take them to a funeral of a loved one and stand before a grave and a pile of dirt and a coffin. And that little child will ask you, "Where is he? Where is Grandma? Where is Grandpa?" They look up into your eyes and they see tears. But they must also see in our eyes the sparkle of light and hope. And you tell them that the life of the soul is what matters today. You tell your little girl that what really matters is not the color of her hair or how pretty she is or the beautiful things that she can wear, but the most beautiful thing must be her heart. And that her heart must be right with God in the forgiveness of sins. You tell her that beauty is not something in a cosmetic case. It's not something on the rack at Nordstrom's. It's not obtained at Valley Fitness. But it's in Jesus Christ. And then you tell them that Jesus Christ has a complete victory. And he's going to take the body of our dear departed, and our own body, and will raise that body, and will make that body like unto his most glorious body. You say that one day the Spirit of Jesus Christ is going to come and blow upon cemeteries and upon ocean bottoms and open fields, and dead bones are going to live again in the new creation of God forever and ever with Jesus Christ. And then, parents, you begin to tell your children about their bodies, and that their body is a temple of God, and that it is a creation. Their body is a creation to praise God, and that it's not for fornication, and it's not for drugs. You teach them about a life that is better and sure, which is to come. You teach them to live for heaven. Is your family homeward bound? Is your marriage on track? Are you and your children living for the better life? Then you will be ready to die. And to be ready to die means that you are living in Christ now. As young people, we have the tendency to think that our future is a right, and that our earthly life, at least until we get to be 40 or 50 or 60, is invincible and indestructible, and we can be shocked when a friend of our age dies or is diagnosed with a fatal disease. It's always someone else who's going to be diagnosed with cancer with Lou Gehrig's disease, with the sudden car accident. That happens to other people. I'm invincible. I'm immune. It will not happen to me. But the Bible says to you today, how do you know that? We must live daily by faith in Jesus Christ, trusting his righteousness and trusting Christ as our full acceptance with God. Where is your heart today? At the moment of death, it must be fixed upon the cross of Jesus Christ. And you must be able to understand that at the moment of death, you go to heaven not because you're a good person, but because God unleashed the fury of his anger against your sin upon his dear Son, Jesus Christ. And believing that, you will live. You will live in that truth. And you will possess a joy in your heart in Jesus Christ. You will have confidence. But then, with this before us as parents, with our children, we will know how to view earthly things, and we will know how to live toward earthly things. We will respect them, we will care for them as the stewards of God, but we will understand that the earthly things cannot satisfy. They cannot satisfy us. We live in a consumer culture. Advertising relentlessly bombards us with this message: things give you pleasure, and you must have them right now. Future cost must be set aside for personal present gratification. We live in a society of overwhelming consumer debt, national debt, credit cards. No, evidently, the society believes there will be no final accounting. They believe that all payments will be deferred. That's not true. Death comes. You do not postpone it. How are we raising our children? Jesus Christ said, "Take heed, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses, but in being rich toward God." So now, what does life consist in? What really makes you happy as a young person? What is life? What is it? Clothes? Spending? Good times? Parties? CDs? Why do you want to have a job? To make money? To throw around? Do you believe that clothes make the man? You understand that living for heaven makes all the difference about how you're going to live and how you're going to view earthly things. Then you say, why do I have a job? Because I want to serve my Jesus, and I want to serve him faithfully. At the heart of this job as a father is that I want to provide for the things of the kingdom of God, for my home, for the Christian school, for the church. It affects everything, and it affects how we rear our children. Fathers and mothers, you must not buy into the world's economy. You must not sell off your spiritual assets. Now, there are many men who are listening, I trust, who are in business, and you would recognize a smooth sale in earthly things. Well, there's none so smooth as the devil. And he says to you today, give me just a small amount of your spiritual capital, and I will give you the world. Give me just a few hours of work on Sunday, and I will make you successful. Give me a few extra hours so that it intrudes into your supper hour, and I will give you hand and fist of all the things of this world. But now let me tell you something he's not telling you. This is what you're going to get if you go for his sale. You're going to get many cares. You're going to get many worries. If you set your hearts on the things that are below, you're going to see your marriage broken up. And you're going to have children who have not learned the one crucial lesson of being a Christian. And that crucial lesson is sacrifice. And you will end up like Lot. You will flee this present life in Jesus Christ, and your wife and your children will be left behind. Let us live for eternal life. We who belong to Jesus Christ, the risen and exalted Savior, let us live for eternal life. Then we will live in joy and in hope, our hope that never makes us ashamed. And then we will have longing. In our families and in our life, in our marriages and in all that we do, we will say to each other, I want to go home. I'm very eager for Jesus to come back. I love him. I love his people too. I want to be where Jesus is. Don't you? Don't you, parents? Don't you want to be where Jesus is? Don't you want to go home? Then, with your children, live your life homeward bound. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the precious word of God. And we ask again that thou wouldst seal it to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that we may live out of a risen Savior, and that we may live with our eye upon life eternal, the hope that shall never make us ashamed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.